Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Morgan Stanley, who helped Uber raise capital to rethink transportation. Capital creates more mobility. More at morganstanley.com/Uber. Morgan Stanley & Co., LLC, member SIPC.
The struggle is real when mixing virtual reality with real reality. The price of mixing VR in the real world, straight ahead.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. So the earliest adopters of virtual reality technology are readily attesting to the physical ramifications of VR, and the struggle is very real. We're talking bruises, nausea, goggle face. All of the above are coming into play as we see this new wearable technology trying to make its way into the real world. Joining us now with a little bit more on this is pro reporter for the Wall Street Journal, Kat Zagreski. Hey, Kat.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on the show.
So I thought it would be fun to address some of the different and sometimes amusing aspects that people are experiencing with the growing adaptation of these VR headsets. It really is a testament to how the merging of virtual reality and the real world is kind of a dangerous cocktail. So let's start with the direct physical challenges. What are some of the common physical challenges VR presents lately?
Sure. So I guess one of the big things that happens with most VR goggles today is your eyes are completely covered, so you can't see where you are. And then in addition to that, you're probably wearing headphones. So that combination of cutting out sight and sound is really difficult if you're trying to move around. So one of the issues that people have a lot, especially in their own homes, is just bumping into furniture. The VR manufacturers, you know, advise you to make sure you have a clear space to play. But at times, you know, you can kind of go out of that zone and run into a couch or a table. And one of the people I interviewed for my story actually got too into a game once and ended up punching a TV when he was trying to punch oncoming attackers in a game. So it you're seeing kind of that just physical collision sometimes. And then the other thing that you're kind of seeing, which is also a little unusual and I think a sign of a new technology, is just how other people react when they see people wearing VR goggles for the first time. So a lot of the people I talk to in my story are trying VR goggles on subways, they're trying them on planes, and they see it as kind of a way to just pass the time and enjoy their commute or flight a little bit more. But, you know, people aren't really used to seeing these big bulky goggles out and about, so you get some kind of funny reactions. There was one man, Ryan, who I interviewed in my story, Ryan Deem, and he was playing a zombie attacker game one morning on the T in Boston, and he got really into the game. You know, he was moving around a lot with his controller, and the other passengers started taking videos of him because they, you know, were just, what is this guy doing? Most of them had never seen a VR headset on another person. If they had seen it, it had just been in a store. They took some videos and posted them online, and those videos actually ended up going viral, and the Boston Transit Police responded and, you know, put out a warning that it's not advisable to use virtual reality on public transportation.
That's so interesting. I actually saw something similar happen in New York City on the subway, someone taking pictures of someone with a VR set. It was, I guess, a spectacle to behold. But you brought up something that's also interesting because new things are coming into play. How are headset manufacturers warning against mixing realities?
Yes. Yeah, so I think that the mobile headsets in particular, so the most popular ones are probably the Samsung Gear VR and Google's Daydream View. Mm-hmm. Those manufacturers are saying, you know, really, this is probably not an experience you should be having moving around in you know, public places. They're warning people to not drive, obviously, when they're using VR goggles because it cuts out off your senses. Mm-hmm. They're warning people. Google particularly says that the Daydream View should be used in a seated position, just to kind of avoid some of these issues that people might have.
So one other thing that this whole phenomenon highlights is escapism. And what I thought was super interesting was how we can get more specific with that and address travel anxiety. That seems to be a place where VR is coming up a lot. Escapism escapism from travel or whatever mundane task perhaps that we just really do not want to be a part of.
Yes, definitely. I think actually one of the most interesting things that didn't make it into that final story was Lauren Molloy, who is in the story and talks about kind of the feeling of using VR on a plane. She actually was in a plane accident years ago and has really intense travel anxiety, and she uses her VR goggles. She used to always watch movies on planes, but now she says, you know, using VR goggles takes it to that next level of really feeling like she's in a different place. So when you're sitting in kind of one of those cramped plane seats, she feels like she's sitting in a movie theater.
Wow.
And is able to watch a show, and that has been kind of a game changer for her. And she was worried when she first went on the plane with her Google Daydream View that people might think she looked like a jerk or something like that. But she said once she put the headset on, she couldn't see them, so it didn't really matter.
That's funny. We're speaking to The Wall Street Journal's Kat Zagreski. You're listening to The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
We'd like to say a quick thank you and share a message from one of our sponsors, Morgan Stanley, who helped Uber raise capital to launch innovative transportation solutions, including its carpooling option, Uber Pool, and enable a world on the move. Capital creates more mobility. More at morganstanley.com/Uber. Morgan Stanley & Co., LLC, member SIPC.
Thanks for joining us. So, Kat, we've seen this before in different ways, like whether it was, you know, with a smartphone or before then, you know, Walkmans or whatever, where it was these new wearable technologies and, you know, people just need to grow accustomed to them eventually. And it feels like eventually they do. And it just seems like this is the next level of that concept.
I think that's definitely true to a point. But I think virtual reality differs a little bit because of the fact that you're so immersed. So I think the wearable technology that might become more common for us to see kind of out and about and people wearing might be augmented reality, because at least in that situation, you're mixing digital images over real world environments. You can still see the real world environment. So you're less likely to punch that TV or trip over the couch or some of those other challenges that people might have in VR today. But it's definitely one that is kind of a narrative we've seen before. I mean, actually, back in the 70s, the Journal did a story on headphones and some of the, just like the challenges of not being able to hear. So it's kind of full circle now that we're doing one on virtual reality years later.
Yeah, no, it's sort of just a testament to the times, I guess. But super fun piece. Kat, thank you very much for the time today.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thanks again to the Wall Street Journal's Kat Zagreski. That'll do it for this edition of the Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos for the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.